Chapter 15 tonight. And while you're turning, I wonder if anybody may have a testimony on your heart. Lord's done something for you, want to testify before we preach tonight. Romans chapter 15 tonight. If you found your place in Romans 15, we'll stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God tonight and give you the message the Lord's laid on our heart. Out of Romans chapter 15, and look with me in verse number 7. It says, "Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, 'For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name.' And again he saith, 'Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people.' And again, 'Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people.' And again, Isaiah saith, 'There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall be the Gentiles trust.' Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and the reading of it. I pray that you will take it and use it and bless it. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we try to preach your word tonight, that you would, Lord, unctionize me. I pray that you would give me that special touch that makes preaching, allow me to preach, permit me to preach, Father, I pray. And I pray that your word would go forth in power and in demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray that we would stay true to the text. And Lord, just give what you have, Lord, given us here in your word. And Father, we pray that you would touch our hearts and draw us close to you. Lord, I pray that you would teach us more of you, and help us to be what you want us to be. Father, we thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The first part of this chapter here, verses 1 down through verse number 6, verse number 7, really, and this is what we dealt with this morning regarding the ministry of the strong. And the ministry of the strong pretty much involves, there's many things that are dealt with, but it virtually completely involves bearing the infirmities of others, bearing the infirmities of the weak. The greatest ministry that a Christian will ever have is a ministry for others. And whenever we get saved, life is not about us anymore. It's not about you and it's not about me. It's first and foremost about Christ, and then it's about others. But really, even serving others and even bearing the infirmities of others is really all about Christ. That's what it all gets down to. We do it for His glory and for His honor. And so we saw and we see here in the first part of this chapter that He deals with the ministry of the strong. Things kind of shift in verse number 7. The attention shifts, and just to kind of add some application and some illustration behind what's been taught regarding the ministry of the strong, he begins going into the ministry of the Savior. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Verses 7 down through verse 14 shifts the attention towards Christ, and he begins writing, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, writes regarding the ministry of the Savior, the ministry of Christ. And so that really is the subject of this section, and it focuses on the Jewish problem with the gospel. Now, he's writing here to a primarily Gentile audience. Now, there are no doubt Jews. There's a mixture of Jew and Gentile there in the church at Rome. But as far as what's being addressed here is talking about the Jew, but not necessarily to the Jew. And so you'll see what I'm saying here in just a second. But it's all regarding the ministry of Christ, the ministry of the Savior, what the Lord really came here to do. Now we see the circumcision in verse number 8. He says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." So regarding the ministry of Christ, he says it was of the circumcision. I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. You do realize that Christ's ministry here was primarily to the Jews. He was primarily seeking the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Amen? And that's who he came seeking. That's who he came for. And that's who his attention was really towards the majority of the time that he was here. Now, he did save some Gentiles. He did save some non-Jews. As a matter of fact, we've seen that happen all through the Word of God. Amen? Where those that were outside the covenants of promise, if they come to God in repentance and faith, looking for mercy, they always found it. Amen? But his primarily, the attention of his ministry was primarily towards the nation of Israel. And we're given two reasons here in this verse for why that is, for his ministry to them. The first one is to confirm God's character. He said, for the truth of God. Amen? In other words, what God said is going to be true. And so for Christ to confirm the character of God, he came and did exactly what he said he would do. Amen? And so to confirm the character of God, but then to confirm the covenant of God. He said, for the truth of God. And then he says, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Amen? And so to keep his promise and to keep his covenant, Jesus came with a ministry primarily to the Jewish people because he said that's what he was going to do. Amen? Because God told them that's what was going to happen in the Old Testament through the prophets and all throughout the prophecies of the Old Testament. God said there would be a Messiah that would come, and because the Messiah, he said that a Messiah would come, the Messiah did come. Amen? He came on the scene, and after 400 silent years between the Old and New Testament, Matthew chapter 1 opens with a bang, and he's on the scene. He is coming. The Savior is coming. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know that He is a promise-keeping God. Amen? Not just to the Jew, but also to the Gentile. Not just to everyone else, but also to you and me. Amen? Everything He ever said He would do, He's going to do. Amen? You'll never find one promise unkept. You'll never find one covenant uncompleted. You'll never find anything that God said He would do in the Word of God that He has not and will not do. Amen? One man said, or it's been said many times, that God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen? The only problem with that is it's wrong. Amen? Because God said it, and that settles it whether we believe it or not. Hallelujah. Amen? The best we could ever do is take sides with God, because every promise He ever made, He will keep. Amen? And if you could describe God with one word, that word would be faithful. Amen? And I don't know about you, but God sure has been faithful to me. Amen? And it's not always been rainbows and sunshine, but it's always been faithful. Amen? And I hadn't always had what I wanted. I've had a lot of what I wanted, but I've always had what I needed. Amen? Because God always promised that He'd meet my needs and He'd always be faithful to me. Amen? And I just believe this, that if He's been faithful this far, He'll be faithful till I get home. Don't you believe that? Amen? And I don't know about you, but I still think that the old time way is the best way, and I still think the old time way is the good way, and I thank God that I'm in this way, and I believe that God will be faithful to us in this way. Amen? Because He always promised He would. He is a prayer answering, a prayer keeping God, a prayer hearing God. He is a promise answering and a promise keeping God. Amen? And so He came as a minister unto the circumcision, that is the Gentiles, to confirm the character of God and to confirm the covenant of God. Amen? And I tell you, God will always do that. He will always be of impeccable character, and He will always keep every promise and every covenant He's ever made to us. Amen? And so we see the circumcision regarding the ministry of the Savior. His ministry was primarily to the Jew while He was here. But in verses 9 through 12, we see a change. See, the Jews rejected Christ. Amen? Therefore, the gospel went to the Gentiles. Amen? Now, in light of God being a promise-keeping God, you know, it's amazing that He came and He kept His promise and He kept His covenant, knowing that He was walking into a situation where He would come unto His own and His own would receive Him not. And that's exactly what happened. Amen? Listen, it was all settled. God knew exactly what would happen before He ever got here, and yet He still came. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Amen? Therefore, because His own received Him not, because the nation of Israel rejected Him, because He was not the Savior they wanted, because He was not the King that they wanted, because He was not the Lord that they wanted, they turned Him away. Therefore, He turned His attention to the Gentiles. Amen? Now, this is a repeated theme all throughout the book of Romans, especially in Romans chapter 11. If you remember going through Romans 9, 10, 11, those parenthetical chapters, so really in Romans 11, he really zeroes in on the fact that the gospel has come to the Gentiles. Amen? And that'll cause every one of us to shout, and that'll cause every one of us to jump a pew, those who can without breaking a hip. Amen? That ought to cause all of us to be fired up and stirred up. Amen? Listen, that the gospel has come to the Gentile. Amen? That the gospel has come unto us. And what we see in these verses, verses 9 through 12, we see a couple things. The first thing is in verses 9 through 11, we see praise. And that ought to be the result of the Gentile regarding the gospel coming to him. Amen? Well, regarding the gospel coming to you as a Gentile, it ought to be praised. Look at what he says in verse 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. Amen? And so the first thing we see regarding praise is pity. Amen? God is very pitiful, and His loving kindness has been shown towards the Gentiles, because listen, we sure didn't deserve it. Amen? And we sure didn't earn it. Amen? I mean, I know the Jew didn't deserve to be chosen and elected by God, but I tell you what, we sure didn't deserve it. Amen? Listen, we're outside the covenants of promise, and the only thing that brought the gospel to the Gentiles is mercy. Amen? And He said that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. Amen. And I tell you, at the end of the day, whether things are the way we want them to be or not, we can always pillow our head and thank God for His mercy. Amen. Anything this side of hell is mercy from God. Amen. And the only reason that things are as good as they are with us is because of His mercy. Amen. And I tell you, He's given to us so much more than we deserve, and He's been so merciful to us, and so kind and long-suffering and so good to us. Amen. I tell you, it's been said many times, and I'll say it again, that if God took everything from me today, I'd still have to say God has been good. Amen. Because of His mercy to me. Amen. He said that the Gentiles may glorify God for His mercy. He says, as it is written. Now, you'll see that over and over and over. As it is written. Now, he only uses as it is written one time, but then in verse 11 or 10, verse 11, verse 12, and again, and again, and again. He's referring back to that phrase, as it is written. Which, in other words, he's referring back to that which has been written in the Old Testament. Amen? Listen, that which was written before time was written for our learning. Amen? Now, this is a good. These are good verses here to confirm the fact that the Old Testament is the Word of God. Amen? Because listen, the Old Testament is quoted so many times in the New Testament. Paul quoted the Old Testament. Jesus quoted the Old Testament. I tell you what it confirms. It confirms that everything written in the Old Testament is a foreshadow and a picture of the Christ. Amen? The Son of God, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. It was a foreshadow of Him. Amen? And that everything God said, He will do. Amen? And so He says, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. He says, for this cause. That's all goes all the way back to Psalm chapter 18 and verse number 49. It's also a reference to Isaiah chapter 42, verses 6 and verse 7, regarding the gospel coming to the Gentiles. Amen. Then he goes to verse number 10, says, and again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with His people. Amen. That's a reference to Deuteronomy chapter number 32 and verse number 43. Again, a prophecy regarding the fact that the gospel would go to the Gentiles, and that the Gentiles would be able, would have the ability to rejoice with His people. Amen. Listen, one time we were outsiders. Amen. But now, because of the love of God, we are inside. insiders, praise God. We're in the family of God. We're in the bride of Christ. And now, all in one, all together, all in unity, Jew and Gentile, bond and free, male and female, we're all one in Christ, and we can rejoice Him together. Amen. Hallelujah. And then he says in verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud Him, all ye people. You know, it's still right to praise the Lord. And I tell you, if there's anything we need in this day is praise. Amen. We need to praise the Lord. You need to praise the Lord when you feel like it. Amen. But you need to praise the Lord when you don't feel like it. Amen. And you know what praise is? Praise is singing part of joy unto the Lord. And praise is testifying and talking of the goodness of the Lord. Amen. And praise is saying amen when a preacher's preaching the truth. Amen. And praise is lifting a holy hand whenever something blesses your heart and blesses your soul. Amen. Praise comes in many forms and many fashions, but I tell you what we ought to be doing is we ought to be praising. Amen. I tell you, if we want revival, if you want revival in your soul and revival in your church and revival in your family, it'd do you good to praise. Amen. He inhabits the praises of His people. And things wouldn't be so dead around here and so dead in your life if folks would just get to praise it. You say, well, man, I sure don't feel like it. I'm tired. Well, I'm sure Jesus didn't feel like carrying that cross for you. Amen. And I'm sure He was tired of hanging up there whenever they were berating Him. Amen. And beating Him half to death whenever He was doing all that for you. Amen. But I tell you, when we feel like it, and when we don't feel like it, and when things are good and things are bad, whenever it's good, bad, and ugly, He's still worthy of our praise. He deserves your praise. Amen. He deserves that we would open wide our mouth and praise Him. David said, rejoice with me. Exalt the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together, he said. Amen. I tell you, if you don't want your Christian life and every worship service we had to be so dead and dry and cold, I tell you what y'all do, praise the Lord, amen. And don't look at somebody else and wait for somebody else to do it. Amen. 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 Somebody say amen right there. That's exactly right, amen. You know the difference in a dead church and a live church? Live churches praise. They praise. And I know some people look back and they're so critical and they stroke their pious chin and they say, oh, that's just all flesh. Amen. Bless God, I wish somebody would work something in the flesh up here around here every now and then. Amen. Amen. I mean, if you can work up the flesh, go ahead. Praise God. Next time we're singing some song, just go ahead and work it up in the flesh and throw your songbook and go, woo! Hallelujah. Amen. It might help some of the rest of us. Amen. Amen. And work it up in the flesh if you got to. It'll still help me. Praise God. He inhabits the praises of His people. And of all people in the world that ought to be praising God and glorifying Him and ought to be alive with praise, it ought to be us dead Gentile dogs. Amen. At one time you were on the outside looking in, and yet God has brought you in and made you a son or made you a daughter. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the ministry of the Savior. Amen. Amen. And so we see praise in verses 9 through 11. But then in verse number 12, we see the prince. It says, and again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Amen. This prophecy is from Isaiah chapter number 11, verses 1 and verse number 10. And it's a prophecy of Christ. Again, another prophecy regarding the fact that the Messiah and the Savior would turn His attention to the Gentiles, that the Gentiles would be brought in, that the gospel would go to Gentile dogs. Amen. And you better believe Isaiah didn't know what in the world he was writing whenever he wrote that. And you better believe these Jews never understood that in all those years. But now they understand. Amen. If they want to understand, they can. And thank God we understand. Thank God we know what's going on. Hallelujah. Because the gospel has come to us. Amen. And I'm not just hanging on. And I'm not just hoping. And I'm not just praying. And I'm not just wishing. I tell you, I've got a prince that is holding on to me. Amen. And it doesn't matter how bad things get down here. He he's still on the throne, amen, and nobody's knocked him off his throne, and nobody will knock him off his throne, amen. You better believe there is a great prince in heaven, amen, and he's watching over you, and he's watching over me, and everything that's going on down here is running right along his prophetic timeline, and it won't be long now, for he'll be on the throne of David, running this thing with a rod of iron, amen. Hey, look up, brethren, your redemption draweth nigh, amen. He's still the prince, hallelujah. Amen. He said that's going to be the one that the Gentiles will trust. And I tell you, if there's anything for us to trust, it's him. Amen. Just keep trusting him. Amen. Just keep trusting him. Amen. Greatest, most beautiful two words you could ever hear is trust Jesus. Amen. Just trust Jesus. Amen. Listen, whenever your bills are unpaid, just trust Jesus. Amen. Whenever you get something from the doctor you didn't want to hear, just trust Jesus. Amen. When your ministry's not turning out how you wanted it to, just trust Jesus. Amen. Whenever you don't feel like He's hearing your prayers, just trust Jesus. Amen. When your children are prodigals and are going to the world, just trust Jesus. Amen. Whenever things are not the way you want them to be, just trust Jesus. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. Just trust Jesus. Amen. He is the Prince. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a ministry of the Savior. Amen. We see the change. Aren't you glad for the change? Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad that when Jesus came and His attention was not so much on us, there came a change, amen? And His attention turned to the Gentiles. Does that mean Jews can't be saved? Oh no, they can be saved. Anyone, amen, can be saved, amen? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, amen? But aren't you glad there was a change where all of heaven's blessings were turned earthward toward the Gentiles, amen? Hallelujah. Praise God for the change. Amen. But then we see the circumcision, the change. But then in verse 13, we see the comfort. Look at what he says. He says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Now again, this writing here is directed primarily to Gentiles. He's talking to them about the ministry of Christ. And he comforts, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is comforting the Gentile believers in that church, in the church there at Rome. And he's comforting them with the hope that they have received through Christ's ministry. You know, the only hope that any of us have, those of us that are saved, the only hope that we have is that which we have received through Christ's ministry. Amen. Now, this world has no hope. Amen. They have no hope without Him. Amen. But I tell you, those of us that are saved, us Gentiles that have been saved by grace and saved by His ministry, the hope that we have is through the ministry of Christ. And that encourages us. Amen. That encourages me. He says, in the verse, he says, "Now the God of hope." See, hope comes from God. Hope comes from God. That's why this world is so hopeless, because they don't want God. Amen. That's why people get in such a dark valley that they don't even see any reason to live anymore, because they have no hope. And I tell you why they have no hope is because they do not have God. Amen. They may have a God, but they don't have the God. Amen. Hope comes from God. Amen. Listen, if you're looking at this world and your hope is in this world, your hope is in the economy, your hope is in the White House, your hope is in the courthouse, your hope is in the dollar, your hope is in education, your hope is in your job, your hope is in your 401k, your hope is in somebody. I tell you, if your hope is in anything for God, you're going to be sadly disappointed, friend. Amen. People will let you down. Anything built with human hands will let you down. Amen. But I tell you something, they'll never let you down, and that's our God. Amen. That is our God. Thank the Lord when we're in our deepest valley, in our darkest corner of life, we have a God that we can run to. Amen. And when we don't understand or even know how it'll all play out, there's still a God. Amen. And He's still in control, and He still knows right where you and I are. Amen. Amen. See, our hope comes from God. He is the source of our hope. He says, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So the only hope you can have comes from God. He's the source of hope. And the only joy and peace you'll have comes through believing Him. Real joy and real peace in this life comes through believing in Him. Amen? And not just believing in Him, but believing Him. Amen? I tell you, the real joy and the real peace that comes through praying is through praying when you believe. Amen? The only joy and real peace that comes through living for God is living for God when you believe. Amen? The only real joy and peace that comes through obedience is when you obey because you believe. Amen? Just believe. Just believe God. Amen? Take Him at His word and believe Him. He says, joy and peace in believing. Then He says, that ye may abound in hope. Again, the source of hope is God. And the way to tap into it is through believing Him. Believing Him. He says, through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, God is our source. The Holy Ghost is the one that sustains it. He's the source. God's the Father's the source of hope. The Holy Ghost is the sustainer of hope. See, it all comes through the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen, you'll run out of hope if you're not getting it from the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hope is that joyful anticipation. Amen? That's why a lot of Christians don't have joyful anticipation in this day. That's why many are falling by the wayside. That's why many are falling out. Amen? Listen, we're seeing the great falling away. We're seeing the purging of the church. We're seeing the ones that aren't real. They're not making it. Amen? Amen. They're falling by the wayside because they've done it for so long without the power of the Holy Ghost. Now when the heat is turned up, they are falling by the wayside. Just like the seeds that were sown by that sower in the parable that Christ told. Some fell on stony ground. And they sprung up. They sprung up. But because there was no depth, they had no depth within themselves, the Bible says. Their heart was stony. They were soft and tender and easily moved on the outside. But there were deep stones on the inside. Things they weren't willing to let go of. Things they weren't willing to give up. Amen? So that seed germinated and took root for a little while and they sprung up for a little while. But now when the sun gets up and the heat gets hot, listen, by and by they are offended. They are scorched. They fall away. They fall out. Amen? Because they have no hope. It's not what they thought it would be. It hasn't turned out the way they thought it would. Amen? And they never were doing it with the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? They were doing it with themselves. And you'll always run out of hope if you're doing it yourself. The only sustaining power we have is the Holy Ghost. Amen? Listen, the only way, I'm not saying there's not discouragements and not hard times in this Christian life. Amen? But the thing that's going to keep you going with joyful anticipation regarding the things that are to come, regarding what God can do and will do, amen, the only thing that will get you going, the only thing that can keep telling you that on the inside is the Holy Spirit. That's what kept Jeremiah going. He was ready to quit. He was ready to throw in the towel. He's ready to stop. But you know, he said there was a fire burning in his bones. There was something that caused him to just get up and pick up his Bible one more time and preach one more message, amen, and walk one more mile. Whenever he didn't want to get up, there was something that made him get up, amen. Whenever he didn't want to preach, there was something that made him preach one more time. Whenever he didn't want to go, there was something that made him want to go one more time. When he didn't want to pray, something caused him to pray one more time, amen. And I don't know about you, but I can identify with that, amen. I know what it's like to feel like I can't go on. Amen. But thank God there's a fire down on the inside that keeps giving me hope and keeps causing me to preach one more time and keep going one more time and pray one more time and live one more day. Amen. When we feel like we can't go on. Amen. Praise God. It's through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I don't know about you, but it encourages me and it helps me to know that I have not got to do this thing myself. If I was doing it myself, I'd have quit a long time ago. Amen. That's why every crown will be cast at His feet. Amen. Because if it was on us, we couldn't do it. If it was on us, we'd have quit a long time ago. But listen, our hope, the sustaining of our hope, the joyful anticipation is through the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so, we find comfort in that. He comforts them, comforts the Gentiles. That is us. Amen. with the hope that we've received through Christ's ministry. Amen. The comfort. And then last of all, we find the compliment. Or not the last of all, next to last of all is the compliment. Verse 13, look at what he says. I'm sorry, verse 14. I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Amen. Now this section here is concluded right here in this verse, and it concludes with a compliment. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, in a sense gives credit where credit's due. Amen. He notices some things about them. And by the way, he's not even met these people yet. He's only heard. He's only heard. Their faith has traveled the world, so to speak, even without the internet. I mean, they didn't have to go on Facebook and tell everybody how spiritual they were. Amen. Isn't that right? They didn't have to, you know, convince everybody of how spiritual. I mean, their faith just was known. Everybody heard about their faith, and Paul had heard about their faith, and he was convinced. He was persuaded of their faith and of what God was doing in and through them. And that's what we find there in the first part of this verse. We find his persuasion. He said, I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren. He calls them brethren. They're brethren. I mean, he's first persuaded. He knows their brethren. He believes with all his heart that they are saved. Now, not everybody persuades you. Amen. I'm not persuaded by a lot of people. I mean, I know what they say, but I mean, I'm not really persuaded, you know, by what you see, you know. But that's between them and God. Isn't that right? By their fruits you shall know them. It's between them and God, though. But I'm not persuaded on a lot of folks. But Paul was fully persuaded by these people. He had heard of their faith. He had heard of what they had gone through. He had heard of their fortitude. He had heard of their commitment. He had heard of their faithfulness. He heard what God was doing there, and he was persuaded by them. But what was he persuaded by? Well, he gives the particulars of that. He says that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. And so this compliment and what persuaded him is threefold. And they're all connected to them accepting the ministry of Christ. See, what Christ does through us, that's the only thing that can produce these things in anybody's life. The three things that he mentions here. Christ and the ministry of Christ and responding correctly to His ministry is the only thing that can produce these things. Therefore, Paul was persuaded. And so, accepting the ministry of Christ brings very blessed consequences. Amen? Amen? Wouldn't you say? I mean, it's just like the song we just sung. I've never been sorry. Amen? And have you ever been sorry by the consequences that the ministry of Christ has brought in your life? Amen? If you've been saved. Listen, I've never been sorry. And I have no sad stories to tell. Do you? Amen? I mean, God's been good. There's been ups and there's been downs. But listen, I'm thankful for the consequences that have come from Jesus in my life. Amen? Praise God. And he mentions three things here, and I want to give them to you, and then we're going to close. First of all, he mentions their character. Now, the only thing that can bring true character in somebody's life is Christ. He says they're full of goodness. Goodness. Goodness is that which is good. But you know, Paul said regarding every person who's ever been born, every lost person, he said, there is none righteous. No, not one. And the only thing that brings goodness into any humanity is Christ. Amen? Christ is the only good thing about us. And he said they were full of goodness. See, Christ puts goodness in your life. Amen? Amen. Anyone who's really responded to the ministry of the Savior, I tell you what the consequence of that has been. It has been goodness in their life. You'll never convince me and you'll never persuade me that somebody has responded to the ministry of the Savior that is not full of goodness in their life. That their life is not characterized by goodness. Amen. That's why I don't believe for a second half of these guys that we preach to in the jail, that's why I believe for a second that most of them that say that they're saved are saved. Amen. And it's not just them. I mean, it's church people too. I mean, it's people all over. Listen, you'll never convince me, you'll never persuade me that somebody is saved whose life, the character of their life, is not marked by goodness. By goodness. Amen. Because Jesus is the only thing that can produce that, but Jesus certainly does produce that. Amen. That Spirit gets on the inside of us. I believe it was John said, that Spirit cannot sin. Cannot sin. That doesn't mean we don't have flesh that we wrestle with. It doesn't mean we're perfect. Amen. But listen, there's a Spirit on the side, on the inside of us keeping us going down the good road. Amen. The right road. Amen. And the most miserable person on the planet is not a lost, drunken sinner reveling in sin and enjoying it. Amen. The most miserable person on the face of the earth is a person that's got a Spirit that cannot sin on the inside of them, and yet their flesh is participating in sin. Amen. Because that Spirit is not going to jive with that. So the two can't walk together. Amen. They can't agree one with another. And so that Spirit that cannot sin, listen, will be grieved and will convict and will bring misery into the life of someone who has sin where that Spirit is present. Amen. So the only thing that can produce goodness and produce character like this is Christ. But Christ certainly will produce it too. Amen. Character, but then he notices and mentions their cognizance. He says they're full of goodness, but they're also filled with all knowledge. That is cognizance. They are cognizant of spiritual things. They have knowledge of spiritual things, and that's what he's talking about. He's talking about spiritual knowledge. He's not talking about worldly knowledge. As a matter of fact, he said not long ago, he said, I would have, or he will say towards the end of the, I think it's chapter 16, the very end of the book, he talks about having, I would have you wise towards that which is good and simple concerning evil. You know, the only thing that can bring true spiritual knowledge is Christ. Christ. That's the only thing that can bring real spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge is the result of responding to Christ's ministry. When you respond to Christ and respond to His ministry, the Holy Spirit comes on the inside and enlightens the mind to spiritual things that it was never enlightened to before. That's why dead, lost people find no fulfillment and find nothing interesting in spiritual things. That's why you can't build a church hardly with Bible preaching anymore. And when I say build a church, I mean draw a crowd. You understand what I'm saying? Bible preaching is the only way to build a church. But when it comes to drawing a crowd, listen, people are not interested. They're not interested. Listen, they got to have something exciting, something that appeals to their flesh. Something that their flesh enjoys. Amen? Because listen, the spiritual man is the only man that can enjoy this. Amen? And I understand preaching itself can be entertained, can become entertainment. Amen? But you go on the average church now where the ceiling's painted black and it's dark and there's smoke and there's purple lights and they're jamming out. It looks like a nightclub. Listen, you just turn the lights on, amen, and put a pulpit on the platform and give a man a King James Bible and you let him just start imparting the truths of the Word of God to people and you see how quick that crowd thins out. It'll thin out quick. You know why? Because there's no light within the lost. There's no spiritual light and no spiritual knowledge. True spiritual. The only way any of us can even connect spiritually with the preaching of the Word of God or the Word of God at all is through Christ. Through Christ. Amen. Listen, if spiritual things, church and Bible preaching, and just serving God. Listen, if it is boring to you, and if it's always boring and hasn't ever been anything but boring, it's a good sign you might be lost. Listen, preaching and preachers and all things touching the spirit, all things spiritual became very exciting to me once I got saved. And it was nothing I did myself. Amen. And listen, I'm not saying that every time I've gotten up to preach, I wanted to preach. Amen. It's amazing when you're a young preacher. I mean, you're chomping at the bits every time you can. But listen, there's been times where I'll just be honest with you, I didn't really want to preach. There's been times where I didn't think I could preach. Amen. But I tell you, there's something on the inside that causes me to go ahead and preach anyways. Amen. And keeps me going anyways. And when I don't have the burden, the call is still there. Amen. And the Spirit is still there. And there's still something there. Amen. And yes, there's highs and yes, there are lows. And not every service is a blow the top off the place service. I understand that. Amen. But the fact is that whenever you've got the Spirit of God on the inside of you, that Spirit craves spiritual things. Amen. I've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, you try to explain spiritual things to them and they can't see it and they don't understand it, and they'll tell you that. Oh, I just can't see that. I just don't understand that. And I believe with all my heart they're telling the truth. A lot of them. They either don't understand because they don't want to, or they don't understand because they literally, not physically, but they spiritually cannot. Because these things are not received by the natural man. They are foolishness unto him, but they are spiritually discerned. And I don't know about you, but as a Gentile dog outside the covenant of promise, I'm thankful that Jesus has brought knowledge to my life. And there's a lot that I don't know, and there's a lot that I want to know. Amen. And we never learn it all. We ought to always be learning more of Him. Amen. But aren't you glad that can't you remember the day when you got saved and you could finally start understanding the Bible and you could finally read the Scripture and the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, spoke to your heart and He put you in the Scripture. Amen. He said, "This is what I did in you. This is what happened to you. And you started to understand. And the book became alive to you." That is spiritual knowledge. Amen. I think I said not long ago, I was talking to church Wednesday night praying for this one particular man at the jail, because I tell you what's happening. Little by little, it seems like he's coming around to the truth. And I tell you, the only thing that can do that is the Spirit of God. Most people are so confused. They have no spiritual knowledge. They have no cognizance when it comes to spiritual things. But I think it's obvious that the Spirit of God is working in his life, because little by little, the light's coming on. And things are starting to click. And the truth is coming together in his mind. And, you know, you can just see it in the way that he talks. When you first start going, guys are asking these off-the-wall questions. And it's obvious that they're thinking about off-the-wall things that don't even matter. You think, why do you even think? Well, that don't even matter, you know. Did Adam have a belly button type stuff, you know? Which came first, the chicken or the egg type stuff? And I'm not saying they asked that specifically, but just goofy stuff like that. But then little by little, you start putting that word out there. Amen. You start preaching that word and the Holy Spirit get to speaking, and before long, several weeks go by and it's obvious they're not thinking about stupid stuff anymore. They're starting thinking about real stuff. It lets you know they're laying in bed at night and that Holy Ghost has got his pulpit by their bedside, and they're starting to think about spiritual things. They're starting to think about real things, and God's bringing it together and shining, shedding light into their soul. Amen. And as long as it's not rejected, if they'll be obedient to the light they've got, God will give them more light. Amen. And the light of the gospel will shine in there. And if they'll receive it, listen, they'll get spiritual knowledge just like everyone that the Lord has ever saved. Amen. Aren't you thankful for cognizance, spiritual knowledge? Last of all, let me give you this. He praises or compliments their character, their cognizance, but then their capability. He says, you're able also to admonish one another. That word admonish there has a very different definition today than what it means in the Bible. Almost about half the times in the Bible that same word admonish is used, it's actually translated to warn or warning. And that's generally what the word means. That's what it's talking about in the Bible. It's talking about warning. It's talking about instructing or counseling others. And that's what he's telling them. And I say that to say this. First of all, that's just what the word means. Talking about warning, able to warn others and admonish others and counsel one another. And the reason I say it is because that ability only comes from responding right and correctly to the ministry of Christ. Amen. You know why it's in the heart of every saved person to warn the lost of impending danger? is because of what the Lord has done in their life, what the Lord's done in their heart. Amen. The Lord gives them that capability. Character and spiritual knowledge, those are the keys to warning and instructing and counseling others. And it's not just the lost, but one another. Amen. Talking about the ministry of the strong here, closely connected to the ministry of the strong. Of course, he's talking about receiving and bearing the infirmities of the weak in faith. Amen. But I tell you, if somebody's strong and they've been saved long enough, we all ought to grow to the point where we ought to be able to admonish one another. Amen. It's a crying shame for somebody to be saved for many, many, many years and have a Bible for many, many, many years, and they couldn't give a devotion of some kind. They couldn't teach a class. They couldn't lead somebody to the Lord. They couldn't give somebody truth. They couldn't admonish somebody. That's a crying shame. Because I tell you what does that, Jesus does that in the heart of every person. And every person that wants to grow in that area, they can if they've got the Lord. We don't all have the same gifts, but we all have Him. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the ministry of the Savior? Aren't you glad for what the Lord has done even in us Gentiles? Amen. Aren't you thankful for the gospel? Aren't you thankful for all the difference that the Lord's made in your life? And when it all comes down to it, it's all because of Him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace, and I thank you for your word. I thank you for helping us with it. And Father, I pray that you'd bless it and, Lord, drive it into our hearts and help us to receive from you what you'd have us to receive. Lord, I pray for anyone here that you're dealing with, Lord, about anything, I pray that they do business with you and they respond to you tonight. Lord, I pray for that one that may be among us that's lost, Lord, that you would shine the light of the glorious gospel into their heart, Lord, that they would repent and believe the gospel and be saved, that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, I pray that you would bless and, Lord, move in our hearts and help us to respond to you in a way that would be pleasing. In Jesus' name, amen.